I'd like to welcome everybody to this session, and thank you everyone for coming to TechEd, first of all. This is such an amazing conference. I love it. It's my third year attending TechEd, my first year speaking, and I'm really happy to see all of you. And today I was going to talk to you about some collaboration tools. And the first thing I want to share with you is my goals for this session and our agenda and some key takeaways that I want you to leave this session with and take back to your workplace. First, I really want to define the problem and some of the available solutions out there. Collaboration tools and choosing one for your organization is not an easy problem to solve. And I want to share with you some of my experiences and the pain that I went through in my company working on these issues. I want to give you some resources to evaluate some of the tools and integrations that are available between those tools. And finally, I want to share with you some of the mindsets and culture shifts required in not only yourself and your teams, but your organization as a whole that are going to make these initiatives successful. My name is Jessica DeVita. I've actually just recently joined Microsoft as a technical evangelist for the Southwest region. And working with IT pros in Los Angeles and Denver and Salt Lake and Phoenix. I can be found on Twitter if you want to connect with me there. That's a great place to find me. You can also check out my blog at theubergeekgirl.com. I try to blog there fairly frequently on topics important to IT pros. And there's a Facebook page called West IT Pros, and that's a collaborative page between myself and my colleague Janelle Crothers, and we are there sharing great resources for IT pros as well. So some of the things that I'm interested in and working on include collaboration systems of all kinds, SharePoint, Yammer, and many other ones. So I'm actually very passionate about CRM and collaboration systems and what that's like for IT pros trying to both implement those in their workplace and, you know, as you maybe leave your workplace and go to other companies, you might encounter some of these systems. I'm also really passionate and interested and curious about the DevOps movement and culture, if you've heard about that. It's the new hot buzzword. So I'm studying the theory of constraints and some of the systems thinking that goes into the DevOps movement. So those are things I'm working on and curious about. So please connect with me. I would love to talk with you and continue this conversation after we leave today. But collaboration, what does this mean? What are we talking about here? Defining what is collaboration, what tools are available, and you know, what are the goals of each system that you might be looking at? It's going to involve a lot of work. This is not going to be an easy, you know, just pick one and install it and roll it out and boy, everybody's going to just join and get on your platform. It's not an easy problem to solve. And it's going to require a lot of work. It's going to require a lot of people and really helping the people that you're working with to see the goals and joining and putting a tool like this together and figuring out what it means to you and your organization. A little bit of history, too, is that prior to joining Microsoft, I was a consultant for almost 10 years, and email was my collaboration tool. I didn't. I was a solopreneur for almost the first 6 years, and I was collaborating with my customers, of course, and that was just done over email, and that's the original collaboration tool, and it's not going away. Even after we look at some of the options available for you today, I want you to understand that email is still going to have a place, but I think it's going to have a different place, and I want you to understand how you can make use email more effectively. But I was using email and FreshBooks. That combination was perfect for me as a solopreneur. But as my company started to grow and I started hiring technicians and working with my customers and with working with larger numbers of contractors, I really outgrew those tools. And it just became totally inadequate, and I really just found myself very limited with email. Certainly, email is evolving, We've got shared tasks. We can share our calendar with our assistants and things like that. We can, you know, publish free busy information. Email is definitely evolving, and Outlook and some of the other tools, you can do a lot more with it now, and you can sync it to all of your devices, and it's available everywhere. And there's different plugins, too, that you can connect into your email to extend the functionality. But it's still wrong. And what I mean by that is these silos of information, right? And companies are starting to recognize that after, you know, you leave your workplace, you move on to your next job, you've got that 42 gig PST file or Exchange inbox with your hierarchical nested folders of carefully categorized information. But the problem is that when you leave, your company cannot make use of that data. And that's really valuable information, and it's just gone. It's basically these dead husks of, you know, mailboxes sitting around with, you know, what, how you saw need to organize that information. And so there's no context to it either. You know, the way you organize your folders is completely different from the way you do it. You might be more of an inbox zero type of person. But either way, email really is limited, and companies are recognizing that, going so far as in some companies banning internal email, because they understand that conversations that you're having with your colleagues about projects do not necessarily belong in email if they're not, you know, private or subject to, you know, different needs of the company. So those conversations need to come out of email and into a place that's searchable and, you know, can add value later on beyond when you and I leave our organizations. Because, you know, it's just, it's a job, it's not a marriage, you're gonna go on. But the work that you do and the communications that you generate and send and receive are really valuable. And we need to pull that out of email. And companies are also starting to recognize the value in the lost value in doing email. There's this estimate done by the McKinsey Institute that folks are spending up to 28% of their week managing email. Is that true for you? Yeah? Okay, at least. Right, and so think about these highly paid engineers and working on email. This is not a good use of your time. And again, because the value is gone after you leave, it's really, companies are starting to see that this is not, it's not sustainable. Not to mention the fact that people are really terrible at email, right? Nobody uses subject lines appropriately. You know, if somebody sends an email into the help desk, you know, the subject has nothing to do with what's actually wrong. So folks don't really do email all that well. And in some organizations that I've consulted at in the past, people are using email as a weapon. They're very psychological and 37 paragraphs, and nested down in the bottom that is what they really want to tell you. So email's just not sustainable. It's not going away, but there's a better way. And, you know, truthfully, if you're checking your email every 5 minutes, because I know your Outlook notifications are constantly binging at you, that's 24,000 times, according to Merlin Mann, per year that you're checking your email. That's a lot. That's a lot. Merlin Mann is a great resource for managing your email, because it's a task that even if you put in a great collaboration system, I still want you to learn to do email better. And I've been really happy to hear his feedback on how to manage email better. And we have no sound for that, so. Okay, we'll come back to that. So Merlin Mann, you can Bing for him and check out his videos. He does several incredibly moving talks on how to do email better. And I think that if you share that in your organization and your teams, it's gonna be pretty awesome, because when I read that, it totally changed how I dealt with my email. So, but what's going on in email, right? There's email help desk tickets coming in, there's requests from your colleagues for a meeting, you know, there's all kinds of different stuff coming in. And, you know, how do you parse that data into something meaningful? We have this problem of signal to noise ratio. And so when we look at email and we're just seeing all this data and it just comes in chronological order, and sure, you can sort it this way and that way, but it becomes very difficult to pull out the data that's actually actionable and really solve that signal-to-noise problem, and that's really where email fails us. And when you switch topics, when you go from one email to the next, and then you're working on a project, we have a problem called context switching, and it really is a devil. I think that by some estimates, if you switch your focus, it can take you 15 to 30 minutes to get back into the zone and into the flow of what you were doing before then. And so this study kind of represents and shows us, you know, multitasking is a myth. And when you switch context, you're really losing valuable, valuable time. You'll never get it back. So email's broken, and that's what I was ultimately discovering in my work, is that I was really trying to solve this email problem. And I discovered that there were all of these awesome tools out there to do it differently and pull the things out of email that were really actionable. Things that I needed to work on, customer requests, email requests, actually issues that needed to be dealt with, and trying to pull that data out and into a system that was much more designed to handle that. So my first approach into looking at these collaboration systems actually started with searching for a perfect help desk tool. So I wanted a ticketing system, and I needed it to integrate with Exchange. I needed a lot from this system, but ultimately, and I'll show you, as we get there later on, I'll show you that I needed much more than a ticketing system, but that's where I first started learning about all these tools. So I want to get into some of the tools that I looked at so I can show you and share with you some of the things that I found and which tools I thought had great features that may be more appropriate for your organization, you know, versus yours, depending on what your focus is, what you do. But before I show you those tools, I want to take you into a little quick history here. I'm not sure if you know Douglas Engelbart. Sadly, he passed away last year, one of the folks I would have loved to have met in my lifetime. A lot of folks think of him as the guy who invented the mouse, but he actually did something much more awesome than that. In 1968, he gave a demo in the Bay Area that has come to be known as the mother of all demos. And this is an awesome demonstration. So if you have a chance, check out the videos of this demo on YouTube. It's called The Mother of All Demos, if you search for it. He was showing us in 1968 collaborative document editing, real-time sharing and instant messaging and video chat, and quite a few other things. So I consider him sort of the founding father of collaboration tools. So as I look at these tools, I just think back to what he showed us in 1968, and you say there's really like nothing new under the sun. This stuff has been around for quite a while. So these tools, collaboration, how can software help us do things differently and better? You know, we're communicating, we're emailing, we need to share it. You're sending an attachment to your colleague and saying, here, I need you to review this document. And then you end up with a versioning problem, right? You know, there's no GitHub for sysadmins, right? And we need to store it and retrieve it and search for it. And some of the problems that I found in these tools, search not quite baked in. And the importance of search cannot be overestimated. It's really important to be able to search for things. And we can do, you know, these are the things that we're already doing that are collaborative, and many of the tools out there try to do one or more of these tasks really well, and especially some of the more multifunction suites that kind of promise a lot. And so we'll dive into what they're offering here. So I was looking for a ticketing system, but I needed email integration. I needed it to integrate tightly, but I didn't want to install it on my Exchange server. I needed it to be software as a service. I wanted it to be cloud, in the cloud, so I didn't have to worry about infrastructure. So I kept finding all of these different aspects that I was looking for, and you know, you might recognize yourself in this as you start this journey. So these are just kind of some of the ideas and needs that I felt that I had. And a lot of the tools that I'm going to show you have one or more of these. And but ultimately, I didn't find one that really was perfect, that had everything. So think about these and kind of feel free to take some notes, take a picture. Also, the slides will be available to you afterwards, I believe. And these are just some of the things that I think people end up needing in their collaboration tools. So the first one I want to show you is totally free. It's a concept. Anybody do mind mapping? Okay. Mind mapping is awesome, and there's a number of free tools that you can do to give it a try. You could also use a pen and paper and get started mind mapping. When you do a mind map and start to think about, map out what your organization is really looking for in terms of your goals for the collaboration tool, you're already collaborating. So with your team, do a shared mind map. So you're all looking at the same information. So there's no misunderstanding later on that says, oh, well, you know, I never had the goal of, you know, this one part of the system. So when you diagram that out, it's a very non-threatening exercise to do with your team as you're starting maybe to do a proof of concept. From that mind map, you can pull out workflows of business processes. You can isolate, okay, well, here's the actual process that we're trying to automate. Because sometimes we're just wanting to be social, and sometimes we need actually more fully featured collaboration tools. So again, depending on what you're looking for, you're going to pull out your business process from the mind map and then look at it in a workflow. I want you to have some flexibility, though, here, because when you do your workflow, you may find that you have a really broken business process, and no software is going to fix that for you. So it could be that you find, okay, I've got this great tool, everything's working fabulous, it integrates well, it does everything I need it to, oh, until we get to this one place. And when you get to that one place, be willing to change that section of your, you know, process step two, because you're going to need to be flexible here, because there's not a piece of software out there that's going to solve, you know, a broken business process, and be willing to change that. So just some of the things that people want out of their various tools, whether they're a help desk tool, ticketing system, or PSA, professional services automation. You know, we talked about a task list and a to-do list. I needed to track expenses and have those flow into my system as well. And the time tracking, I just want to call that out for a half a second here, because you may be in a company right now that doesn't require time tracking, but your next job might. So if you can get in the habit of doing it now, it's not only going to help you later on down the road, because you might go to a company where that's really required, but it also helps you understand in a greater context, if you look back over the past year, what you've really worked on. It makes it so much easier to fill out status reports and really show the value to your organization of what you're doing. It's not just about tracking time for every dollar so that we can bill that time. Think about it in the context of how it's going to benefit you. And also alerts. So this, we have all our different monitoring systems, okay? So if that server's got an issue, that's going to ping an alert, and we need to be able to pull that into our dashboards if we can. So some of the different things people want out of their collaboration systems. So now let's dive into some of the tools. So one of the first ones I want to tell you about is Asana. And this is fun. If your organization is kind of task-based, this would be a great tool for you. It's over on the left side, you can see I can create different project folders. And in the center, I can really list out my tasks and be able to drag and drop them and reorder them depending on how, you know, as the priorities change. And I can sync those to my calendar. And there's really nice exportability here in terms of APIs and JSON. It does export to a calendar and a due date, so there's functionality there. And this tool is, I think, free for up to 15. Now I realize that a lot of us work in much larger organizations, but as a proof of concept or as a small team, maybe if this tool works well for you, all your tasks can collapse up. So it kind of reminds me of a Gantt chart in that way. I found Asana to be really awesome. It was available on every platform. There was a native app for iOS, for Android, and I believe for Windows Phone. And I could obviously get to it from any browser. So some of those things to think about when you look at a tool is, you know, what platform is it available on? So I was very happy with Asana. Okay, let's go to the next tool. Oh, really quickly though, some themes that you're gonna see in all of these tools is the idea of kind of commenting and liking a task or an activity. So as different activity streams come, you know, kind of like we do in Facebook, we like different things. So you're gonna see that feature in a lot of these tools. It just might not be in the same place. The next tool I looked at, and this one was a lot of fun. I actually implemented this with a customer who needed a collaboration tool, and they loved it. It kind of reminded them of Facebook. We all kind of know how to use Facebook, so it was very easy for their organization to adopt it. Podio was very flexible in that you could, you know, email things into it from your email client, so it had a good email integration. On the left side, we could do our different projects. But Podio has one competitive advantage in that they allow you to build applications, and you don't need to be a programmer to do it. So if you can manage an Excel spreadsheet, you can build an app in Podio and then publish a web form and have data come into that app that's now actionable data. So they really do try to give you more ways to interact with your data. Podio was fun. Citrix bought them a couple of years ago, I think, and that really, I think, lent a lot of legitimacy to the platform. And last year, I had the pleasure of spending 2 days with the engineering team in San Francisco, and I was really impressed. Their API was phenomenal. So that's Podio. This one was interesting, Slack. I can't remember where I found out. I think I saw this on Twitter. And Slack is kind of like instant messaging on steroids. But it also has search really baked in. So we talked about the necessity of search. And back to Podio, I had some trouble with context and the syntax needed to search properly in Podio. Slack has got that really built in. Slack is an interesting tool if you've already got other tools, and this is just a really, it's like a water cooler, you know? It's instant messaging, but it's your whole team, and really fun, very inexpensive, and looks like a really great product. I think it would be interesting to just start a conversation in Slack and kind of see how your team, how your company takes that up. Because again, you may already have something in place, and maybe you're not able to change platforms, but you're missing some key aspect of it. Slack does everything. It's got the instant messaging as a primary method of kind of conversational back and forth, but there's, you know, the file sharing, integration, you know, liking, and commenting as well. The next tool I looked at and also had to work with, I had one particular customer who had Basecamp completely deployed to all 500 or so of their offices, and it was pretty incredible. It's built by a company called 37 Signals. They actually make a few different tools, and I think the founder wrote a book, too, that was pretty interesting. I can't remember the title of it, but Basecamp is awesome. It's really designed around project management. Allows you to add to-do lists and assign things to them. A really nice discussion format that's very easy to see what's going on. File sharing and collaborative text editing. So we always work, when we're working on a document together, because that's one of the number one things customers would ask me for is, how can I work on a document with Joe down the hall? And they really wanted to be able to do that. But so many people worry about the formatting of a document. But with a tool like Basecamp and some of the other ones, don't worry about the formatting. You can paste it into its ultimate, maybe it's going to be a Word document or whatever its format it's going to be. You can paste that later and change the font later. work on, you can work on it inside of Basecamp in just a text document, because really what matters is the text, right? It's content. Formatting can always be done later. One of the other ones that I looked at, which I think was pretty interesting, and this one had a really unique approach. I had never seen a tool like this. This one was called Affinity Live. It's pretty new, I think, within the last 2 years or so. And Affinity Live kind of promised the world. They wanted to be everything to everybody. They could synchronize all of your email. And that was a little bit weird, like a little bit Big Brother. Literally, if you forwarded, you know, you could do things with your email and forward all your email into it, and be able to see all the conversations that are happening in your company with a key customer. Maybe that's not appropriate for your organization, but it's an interesting tool for companies who have absolutely no idea what is happening in their company. They don't know who's talking to which customer, and they don't know where to start. Affinity Live, syncing all the company's email through that, is an interesting way to start to wrap your brain around what is happening in your company. And they did promise to kind of sync with everything. And one key integration that worked well for me was the ability to sync to QuickBooks Online. So, and in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about the importance of integrations and APIs. This one has those integrations really built in. Probably one of my favorite collaboration tools ever, I use it all the time, is Trello. Anybody use Trello? Couple? Okay. Love it? Love it, right? It's free, which is really interesting, which is, I'm not quite understanding their business model, but that's okay. Trello is a Kanban board, and I actually think we saw a little preview of, they had done some Kanban features in Visual Studio. Did anybody see that in the keynote this morning? That looked awesome as well. So I'm a huge fan of Kanban as a technique to really see your work in progress. I've seen Trello used as a ticketing system. I've seen it used to plan office moves. I've seen it used to plan complex Exchange server deployments and migrations. That's, I would use it for tools like that, for projects like that all the time. You know, so it's this idea of viewing your work in progress and moving things along visually from left to right as they go through whatever your process is. So if you you might have different stages, right? By out of the box, it comes to do, doing, and done. But you could make, you know, six columns. If you had six different workflows or stages that your process goes through, you can customize that in 2 seconds. Trello is a great tool. I think Trello is fun to actually use to plan your collaboration system project, because you can vote on features and things like that. And an example of that is that Trello is actually developed using Trello. So if you look for Trello's development board, you'll actually see their features in progress and how they vote on features and move them through test and QA and into production. I think that's so cool, you know, to use your own tool to further the development of that tool. So that's a really interesting use. Awesome collaborative features. I can add members. I can add different people, even if they're not in my organization. You know, again, all of these tools are cloud-based, software as a service, so I'm not needing to open any ports in the firewall or anything like that. And on the right side here, you can see the recent activity. And let's say this particular card, you can assign a due date to that, and that can appear in a calendar. So seeing your work in progress in a tool like Trello is a huge part of the DevOps movement, and being able to manage your constraints and see where the workflow stoppage is. So this is kind of a fun way to do that. One of my favorite collaboration tools, Trello. Give it a try. Love to know what you think about it, if you know, and how you're using. I would love to talk to you about that too. But the killer app is an Excel spreadsheet with a simple feature matrix. This, obviously, I discovered later after I'd tried 37 other tools, but because after a while you forget which tool had which feature, and you're like, oh man, I think that one had to be installed on Exchange, and the Exchange admin said no way. So, but doing a simple feature matrix before you start trying software becomes important, because as you identify the features that are critical to your company or your team, you can add them here to the list, and then across the top you add the down the left side you add the different applications and put a simple check mark. So do yourself a favor and create a simple feature matrix before you start down this road. This was very helpful to me after the fact. So what were some of my requirements? And this is where we see the how difficult this problem is to solve. You know, I needed something that had a lightweight CRM. I just needed to know where my customers were, what address they were at, so I could get to them or, you know, schedule a technician to go out to see them. Of course, I wanted to track assets, both internal and my customers' assets. And I wanted email to ticket. This email to ticket, and I want you to understand that this could be email to task or however, you know, extend the idea here. I needed something in email to be able to get out of email and into my system, whether that was Asana as a task management tool, or if it was in Podio or part of a larger project management software. So the ability to take something out of email and have it get to your system is incredibly important, and it was to me. And very difficult to find a tool that did that properly. Like, if you can avoid installing onto Exchange, please save yourself the heartache of trying to do that. Obviously, I wanted calendaring and scheduling. I needed an item to become a ticket so I could calendar that and assign a tech to it. Talked about time tracking, the importance of that. Expense tracking, this was a paperwork nightmare. Had to pick up a router emergently for some customer, and being able to bill that back to them and have that piece of paper become part of my system was very, very important to me. Customer portal is interesting. We talked about email not going away, and this is what I'm talking about. You may develop the most beautiful collaboration tool, and it's got project management, it's got tasks, it's got every bell and whistle that you could possibly want. Your customer is not going to log into it. They're not going to. Maybe one. Maybe. They're going to send you emails. They are going to continue to send emails. Internally, people should use the tool, and we obviously want them to adopt the software. But externally, I think just set your expectation that the customer portal may not be that important, because it may not be used. So don't spend a whole heck of a lot of time developing it. Software as a service, I wanted it in the cloud. I didn't want to deal with infrastructure. And the native app versus HTML5. So this is interesting. So a lot of times you'll look at these platforms, and one of the considerations is, can I get this on the platform that I use? And in my company, I had every platform. I had, you know, one tech who was on Android, one was on iOS. I'm a Windows phone person. And I don't think BlackBerry is a consideration anymore, but the idea of whether this is a native app and that's available on the systems that you use and you have, you know, that choice, don't be locked into one particular platform, is important. It was very important to me. Versus an HTML5 app, which, sure, you can get to that from any browser, but people like buttons. They want buttons and not web buttons, I found. And entering data once, I was sort of obsessed with this idea of entering data once. I did not want to touch a piece of information or type it twice or copy and paste. No way. I'm not doing it. I needed data to get, maybe it needed to enter a system at one place via email and then be able to forward it or however it got into the system. And then from there, I needed it to go onto its next system, whether that was the invoicing system finally. I wanted data to be entered once in that end-to-end process. I realized now that this is impossible. This doesn't exist. This is what I wanted, and it doesn't exist. So a couple key considerations from that big list, but that I want you to take away to think about deeply are email integration. How are you going to integrate with email? How do you need to integrate with email? again, if you can avoid installation onto your Exchange, that's best. Because so many of us are using like Office 365, right? And we're really starting to get email out of our data centers and, you know, offload that because there's more interesting problems to solve. So think about how it's going to integrate with email. Is it a plugin? Can you just forward your email? You know, things like that. Did you want Active Directory integration? Because so many of these tools offer that. So look for that as a feature if AD is heavily deployed for you. You don't want to reinvent that authentication if you don't have to. Did you want it in the cloud or do you want it on-premise? You know, if you've got compliance issues, that could mean that you need to be on-premise. And look at pricing too, because a lot of times now it's easier for the decision makers if they can look at a per user pricing model. That's much easier for them to scale, especially in the startup world, which I work with a lot of startups, is they want to see all of those expenses. They don't want capital expenses. Nobody wants to write you a check and send for $20,000 for some piece of software. If they can do it per user, it's easier to digest. It's easier for them to say yes to that. And finally, really think about your data portability, import, export. You can put it in, and then, boy, that's a beautiful interface, but what are you going to get out? Are you going to get out some XML, some JSON that you don't know what to do with because you're not a programmer? Think about how your data is going to come out. If it can come out in a CSV or an Excel format, that's pretty good. I would be happy with a product that I could export. Because at the end of the day, you might pick a tool, and 6 months from now, they could go out of business. They're like, sorry, we're shutting down. There was an app called Orchestra. I don't know if you know that one. That was made by the people that made that mailbox app for iOS. Well, they just stopped development on Orchestra. So all of a sudden, your handy-dandy platform is just gone. So if you think about all the work that you're putting into it, think about how it's going to come out. That should be a very, very primary consideration for you. So, which brings me to APIs. As I mentioned, I had this crazy list of requirements that I wanted to do. And in the end, as I said, I couldn't find one system that did it all. So I needed to look at what kind of integration I could do between my systems. And APIs can give us that. So application programming interface. Most of us are IT pros. We maybe don't have a programmer on staff who can, you know, look at the API for us and tell us how we're going to, you know, knit these services together. A great resource for APIs and learning about them, Ken Lane, APIevangelist.com. Awesome person and passionate about APIs and just anything that you want to know about APIs. I think you'll find a great resource in Ken Lane. It's also on Twitter, too. So something to think about with APIs, though, is that they can be shut down, right? The terms of service, you need to look at the terms of service of the API for these systems as you knit them together, because there could be some fine print in there that's not quite going to jive with your legal team, because as you knit these systems together, that becomes a business process that has us, you know, you're going to rely on it. You want to rely on it. You want to be able to have a service level agreement around it. So think about your APIs that you're going to use and look at the terms of service for them. I've seen a lot of people get very, very frustrated and find out this wasn't going to work for them. So if you're not a programmer, we can do cool things with Zapier. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Zapier. Zapier, this, and there's another one too. This is going to allow you to have a trigger in one system and an action in another. And it's very, very simple. If you can drag the context from one to the other, you can do it. So the next one I was going to show you, and he mentioned too, is IFTTT, if this, then that. Same concept, trigger in one system, action in another. And there's even a third one called IDuzzIt, IDuzzIt, something like that. So I call these APIs for the rest of us. little pun. I found these invaluable when I wanted to create connections between the platforms that I loved. I could take something that was an email and have it trigger something into FreshBooks and have that trigger something into create a contact and even push that out to a card in Trello. I mean, you can do some amazing things with these tools. So those are some of the tools I've tried, what I think, you know, how I think that they're valuable for different kinds of organizations, and how you can knit them together with APIs or different tools like Zapier and IFTTT. And so now I want to tell you about some of the Microsoft tools that are absolutely awesome that I've really grown to love, and not just because I work for Microsoft. So Yammer and SharePoint. Any Yammer SharePoint users? Oh, that's, there's like more than 50% of you doing SharePoint. So Yammer and SharePoint. I love the Yammer integration in SharePoint, especially in Office 365. It's a no-brainer. If you have Office 365, if your tenant's been upgraded, you should now be able to go and turn on Yammer, send an invite to your people, and have that Yammer feed appear in your SharePoint. And IFTTT, there's a couple of OneNote and OneDrive channels, so you can see some of the integrations that Microsoft is doing that are available on that. Pretty cool. So this is Yammer. It's some of the concepts we talked about, that activity stream in the middle, right? Being able to like someone's update, being able to collaborate on a document, have a poll, create different groups. One of that key considerations is ease of use and adoption, because if they can't figure out how to use it, and then you have to spend a whole large sum of money on user training, it's going to limit the success. You want this to take off organically. You want the platform that you use to be easy to use so that you don't have to have any training budget. And I think Yammer is easy to use, and most people can figure it out. Just a quick example of Jasper showing, you know, he's uploaded a contract, and you can comment, like, reply, share. You can do all those social collaborative conversations around content that you're creating, and it's all searchable. So which tool when, though, with SharePoint and Yammer and email? Some guidance around that. Because email really is, you know, private. It does not need to be, no iteration necessary later on. So some of the different times where SharePoint, Yammer might be the most appropriate for what you're trying to do. There's a link here, and again, these slides will be available. Get Social in 60 minutes. This is awesome. If you have Yammer available but you haven't really deployed it, I would take a look at some of these quick resources because they can help you get up to speed with it. So some closing thoughts. First of all, when you start trying these to-do lists and different applications, it can get a little bit addicting. I was like, I don't know how many I've tried. And I'm like, oh, that one looks awesome. Ooh, that one's promising a lot. So before you try another one, stop what you're doing. Go do something on your list. Pretty funny stuff. You can't just go and deploy these tools, though, because there's something at work here that none of these tools are going to do for you, and that is help you with your culture. Okay. So Gartner Group suggested that this pie chart, and I think it's probably, I think that culture section is actually probably greater than this. What do you think? You pick that app and it could end up being just a ghost town. I've seen so many deployments of tools just sit empty. Because A, people either don't know how to use them, B, they don't know what to do use them for, or C, they don't feel comfortable being out there with their ideas. And I've seen toxic workplaces where you can't collaborate face to face. You're not going to do it in your platform. So I have some ideas about how to not only bring about those culture shifts, but some ways to think about what might be at work. And I'm not a psychologist by any means, but I've always felt that we have two ears and one mouth because we should listen twice as much as we talk. So in my experiences working with colleagues and working with coworkers, listening is a really important skill. But it's pretty hard to do that sometimes. And IT, I don't know what it is, but we have some of the biggest egos, don't we? Right? Is it a hero complex? You know, I think we can just, we're the one that we're solving problems, right? So that feels really good to solve problems. I get that. So we do have a lot of big egos in IT, and I don't know necessarily what all that's about, but it does make it really hard to listen and hard to collaborate with your colleagues. So one resource that I think is pretty great, I just read about recently, this book, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team. Anybody read this? A couple in the back? Okay, pick this book up. It's a page turner. You'll read it in about 2 or 3 days and you'll just feel like, oh, this is what's wrong with my workplace. So it's a leadership fable, but it really talks about the things that really prevent us from collaborating. And some of the ideas, some of the key concepts, you know, are that in a lot of our workplaces, there's this absence of trust. And so if we aren't able to be vulnerable with each other, you know, you're not going to be able to do that in a collaboration tool. You need to be vulnerable and be able to be honest about what your ideas are and what your opinions are. There's a fear of conflict. So if you don't want to get into a conflict with someone because for whatever reason you don't have a good relationship with that person, you're not going to be honest about what you're not going to be able to be honest. So there'll this artificial harmony, right? You'll like, oh, everything's fine. Not fine. And then there's this lack of commitment and avoidance accountability. And ultimately what ends up happening is that companies fail. They fail, they die slowly from the inside because people can't collaborate because of a lot of these issues. So this book was really awesome and helped me understand that, and I just think it's a great read. Whether you're the help desk guy or gal or the CIO or whatever you are, this book was phenomenal. Because by looking at those and being willing to take a hard look at the culture in your company, we can do amazing things, but if your people don't feel safe, they don't feel like their ideas are valuable or respected, they are not going to share that. And we need sharing. We need to share our ideas to help move our company and our organization forward. This is not about you. It's about the whole company as a whole. Like if you succeed and you have a great career, but Joe down the hall is belittled or whatever happens to him, like the company is not going to do well. We all have to succeed for it to be really to count, I think. So Patrick, the author of that book, I believe this to my soul, you know, if we all work together, there's nothing, there's no marketplace that you cannot dominate in. I want to leave you with a clip of Ken Blanchard. He spoke at TEDx San Diego and shared just a short clip of him talking about form versus function. Because we've talked about these applications and what they look like and the features that they have, and we've also talked about the mindsets necessary to collaborate. And so putting those two together, you know, we talked about the culture being more important to solve first.
And a friend told me an interesting thing about collaboration, and really listen to this one because it's so important. He said there are two parts of collaborating with anybody else. One is essence and the other is form. Essence is heart to heart and values to values, and form is how you're going to do it. And he said, be careful in a relationship when somebody wants to go to form right away. Because if they do that, you'll always get bit right in the tail by essence.
And isn't that the truth? So it doesn't matter what your application looks like, the collaboration tool. Fix what's going on in your culture and then find the tool. And do it at the same time, you know, however you want to do it. So want to leave you with a couple of other resources. First of all, I realize these are very hard to read. All of these links are completely illegible. So we'll get those to you in the slides later if you're interested. A lot of resources on SharePoint, Yammer, and culture as well. Some more technical resources on Yammer. And again, the links will be in the slides for you. So there's a couple other sessions during Tech Ed that I think would be valuable for you to attend that are related. This become a Yammer power user in 75 minutes looks really good. I'm going to be there. I'll have to check the schedule on when these are. And one of my colleagues is doing the best practices for breaking down organizational barriers. I think that'll build on some of the things we were talking about today. I'm going to be working at the Microsoft Solutions Experience at the Work Together booth. I'll be there on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then tomorrow night, I'll be at the Ask the Experts from 6:30 to 8 p.m. So I'd love to connect with you and talk with you about this stuff more. There's a few other slides, other things happening at Tech Ed. So everybody on Channel 9, you've got this resource. Fabulous. All the videos from all the sessions, from all the Tech Ed. I spent a lot of time on Channel 9. It's excellent. TechNet, great resource. TechNet Events is also a great resource. That's where you can find some of the IT camps that we do. Find one that's going to be in your area. And what about MVA? Anybody sign up for Microsoft Virtual Academy? Okay. That's a great place to continue all the work and learning that we're doing here at Tech Ed. If you could do me a great big favor and fill out an evaluation for this session, you could win an Xbox and some other cool stuff. So I would love an evaluation. It would help me a great deal. And we have a QR code scanner. So thank you so much. And right now, I think it would be good to open up for questions. If I think we still have some time for questions. Yeah, let me go back.